Well, guys, we're going to jump right into the sermon today. We are talking about, I mentioned last week, if you joined us online. So last week we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? Today we're talking about being clothed in power. So that's the other part of that verse that we were talking about. So I'm going to pray real quick, ask the Lord just to anoint my lips and my mouth and help us to just fall in line with what he wants to do today, soften the ground of our hearts so that we receive his word. And then we're going to jump right into it. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for the people that you've brought here today. I thank you for all the people that are online, Martha and Tina and Woody and Patricia and Steve and Bob and Judy. And God, the list continues to go on and on. Amber, Lord, and anybody that I've missed that I'm not seeing right now because I'm not looking at the phone, God, I ask you just to give them a supernatural blessing right now. That they would feel your presence right where they're at, just as we've been feeling your presence right where we're at. God, you can be anywhere all at once. And God, we thank you for that. We don't want to put you in a box. So move as you see fit in and through each and every one of us. Lord, anoint my mouth. Help me to speak clearly and concisely your word today. Help us to understand and hear and actually apply what it is that you're going to say and speak through us and to us today. And it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So as I said, we're picking right up where we left off last week. We've received a promise from the Father, right? Fulfilled when Jesus went to heaven. He said, I'm going to give you the promise that the Father promised you. And then he ascended into heaven and he told them to wait. Spoiler alert, the promise's name, his name, is Holy Spirit, and as we said, we've been sealed by him. He is the guide and guard over our lives as we submit to his will and his way, right? He has to be Lord of your life. He has to be Lord of all, or you've not made him Lord at all. You've heard that before, right? Okay? We have to submit to his will, and we have to submit to his way. His presence lives in us. So we have part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the one living in us. So that should make you jump for joy and get excited. Here's our declaration. I want to stand together and let's read this together. Those online, please join us. But here's our declaration today. And we are going to agree with this because he's the one that completes it. So my eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? Do you believe that? All right, you can be seated. All right, here's our sermon in a sentence, the main point. If you seek him, if you seek God above all else, everything falls into place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? Seek him above all else. Okay? Here's what happens. You're transformed. The lost get saved. And his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think we need a little bit more heaven here on earth? Yes. So Lord, let us seek you first so that your will is done. The lost get saved. We're transformed and more heaven is on earth. Okay? All right. Here's a scripture for you, and I love the way the Passion puts this. So this is Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7 in the Passion Translation. It's up on the screen, but it says, keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure, feasting on his faithfulness. I love that. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. A good example of that is Miss Debbie was praying for a house. She said in her heart, she knew exactly what she wanted. And she asked God, God, would you do it? He gave her the desires of her heart. I don't know if you missed that or not, but that's what he did. She put him first and said, God, it's yours. He gave her the desire. That's awesome. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly, right? He will appear as your righteousness, as sure as the dawning of a new day. He will manifest as your justice, as sure and strong as the noonday sun. I like this part. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. And don't think for a moment that the wicked in their prosperity are better off than you. Amen? All right. And then Matthew 6:33 is, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see how David echoes that in Psalm 37, hundreds of years before Jesus was on earth, speaking Matthew 6:33 to us. So here's the deal. I can't stress this part enough, and I've been thinking about this nonstop, because I was this way. So hear me on this. I mentioned before that I grew up in a Baptist church. I loved the pastors that were over me, good godly men, but there was just something that was missing, and the thing that was missing was Holy Spirit. We didn't have a close personal relationship with Holy Spirit. So something that I did for a number of years after that was I heard all of the Christians and people that I knew, good godly people, that had Holy Spirit, and I didn't understand why I was messed up and couldn't. That's what my thought was. That's what my belief was. What's wrong with me? Why can I have what they have? So I searched and searched and wanted, and something that I found out along the way is that I was desiring the gifts more than I was desiring the giver. Hear me on that. I was desiring what they had, not who they had enough. And I was mixed up. I loved God, there's no doubt about that, but I was so focused on X gift that I wasn't focused on that it was all from him. So I can't stress enough that these gifts, I'm going to call them tools, not being offensive, but tools to accomplish his will, are from him. They're for him. They're by him. And as I mentioned above, if we seek him, are not all those things going to be utilized in us as we yield to him? Right? Okay. So desire him more than the gifts. And I personally believe, because I'm experiencing it, I believe that you'll experience the best and truest blessing on your life and your ministry. Right? All right. So before we jump too far into what I'm talking about today, I want to recap our promise. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Come on. And then in Luke 3:16, so here's Chris. I look at John 3:16, one of the best verses in all of the Bible, right? God gave, we're saved. We believe in him. But I looked at Luke 3:16, and I said, I wonder what this says. So check this out. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's cool. I could just see him delivering that as that response to everybody that's coming to him saying, you're the guy, you're the guy. No, I'm not the guy. Listen, the guy that's coming, he's this. Like, he's here. Get ready. Right? Can you just see that? Can you experience that in your mind today? Like, oh man, this is cool. So last week we even read in Ezekiel, so write this down, Ezekiel 11, I'm not going to read it, 11, 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20. And it said, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put in them. He promised it. More years before Jesus came and said it. So we're seeing all of these things coincide, because that's what the word does. God inspired it. Men wrote it, but it's from God. And he's formulating his story. He's formulating his plan and his promise over us. And he says, I'm removing that heart of stone and giving you that heart of flesh and a spirit, a new spirit within you, so that you can follow my rules and commandments. Amen? We already covered that we couldn't do it on our own. So we need that new spirit. We need that new heart. But something that I like here, and I'm going to deep dive on this, but in Acts and Luke, both written by Luke, he uses the word baptize. So my first question for you, point number one, is what baptism? What baptism are we talking about? Is it Paul's baptism? There's a verse on this. Is it Paul's baptism? Is it Apollos' baptism? Is it Chris's baptism? Is it Alan's baptism? No, whose baptism? Jesus. The Holy Spirit. We're baptized into Christ. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Any of our names match those three? Nope. So that makes it real clear. So look at this. And I wanted to call this out because of what it says. So let's read Acts 18, 24 through 26. It says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus." We know that town. "He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew of the baptism of John." All right, so I'm going to pause here just for 1 second. What did it say? "He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John." So did you know that there could be people that teach and preach accurately about Jesus, but are missing a little part of the puzzle? Do we see that around? Have you been to those churches? Okay, continue praying for those churches. Don't beat them up. They need Holy Spirit. They're coming around. God's got a plan. He's not done, okay? Here's what it says next. "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue." Praise God for boldness. We need more boldness. Speak. "And then when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately." What'd they do first? "Hey, can we feed you a meal?" Right? They didn't say, "Hey, man, stop talking. We don't want to hear none of this. You're doing it wrong. Let us get up there and fix it for you." They do that? No. They said, "Hey, you gonna come to our house for a meal today?" Sure, why not? And then once they fed the guy, they were like, "Hey, so here's what we heard about Jesus. Let's fill in the gaps a little bit. Let's make sure you understand the full story." Isn't that good? We can learn something from that. That's how we need to help our brothers and sisters who don't know the whole story. All right, so let's look a little further down in Acts 19, 1 through 7. So just a little bit further down on your page, we see Apollos again. "So while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus." So Apollos was just in Ephesus. He went to Corinth. Now Paul is getting to Ephesus. That's where we're at. "And there Paul found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They answered, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' So Paul asked, 'Then what baptism did you receive?' 'John's baptism,' they replied. Paul said, 'What?'" That's Chris's ad there. "What? "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." What did he say? "He must increase, I must decrease." Remember, there's one coming after me whose sandals I can't unstrap? That's him. "And on hearing this," listen, "they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them," who showed up? Holy Spirit came on them. And they did what? "Spoke in tongues and prophesied." There were about 12 men in all. Did one of them speak in tongues and prophesy? All. What? Okay. So I think we're on to something here. So keep following with me. Now, as it said, what they received was not John's baptism. As the scripture literally just said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And we're not minimizing repentance, so please hear me on this. Repentance is critical, but his baptism was looking forward to Jesus, what Jesus was going to do, the finished work of the cross, the forgiveness of our sins. Someone had to die for sin. His name was Jesus. He took all of our sins on himself. He died. He fulfilled the sin debt. And now we can be free as we trust in him. Are you with me? They were shown the better way. What did Jesus say? "I'm the way, the truth, the life." Can you get to God through Buddha? Muhammad? Any of these other guys? No. I don't care what religion you start up. If his name is not Jesus, you don't get to heaven. All right? So, Christ has come and his dwelling is in you. We've received Holy Spirit baptism, one that causes us to walk in new life, and he tells us that we would do the works that he did. Greater things would you do, because I go to my Father, and I'm going to send you a helper. Right? So here's my question for you. Do you want that? I hope so. I got a couple yeses. Do you want the Holy Spirit today? Yes. Okay. So here's our key verse. All that said, now we're jumping into clothed with power. Here's what he said. Luke 24:49. Key verse. I'm going to send you what my Father promised. There it is again. I'm going to send you what my Father promised. Here's what we have to do. Here's our action. Here's what we have to say yes to. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Could Apollos speak and teach accurately before Holy Spirit? Yes, he could. But you can't do what Jesus did, the way that Jesus did it, or the greater things that Jesus said we would do without being clothed with power on high. Are you with me today? That's the difference. Okay. So, what power? Mark 16:15-18 says, he said to them, this is Jesus, before he's ascended into heaven. This is Mark's version of this, Great Commission. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Right? We remember that part. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. White, black. There's no middle ground. Okay? And these signs will accompany those who believe. Check this out. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with what? New tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they'll what? Get well. Okay, so in Mark 16, we're given a picture of what will happen to us when we believe in Jesus Christ. Does this correlate with what we've said so far? All right, new tongues. So we're talking about tongues first, but something that I wanted to call out here. Many people, in the goodness of their heart, because I believe, like Apollos, we're trying to teach Jesus accurately. We don't want to misteach or misquote or do anything wrong or out of our own selfish ambition or our own knowledge. Sometimes, because we don't understand something, we exclude something. Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, forgive us for that. But check this out. Have you looked in all of the New Testament and found any portion of Scripture where someone has drank deadly poison and survived? Anyone? I haven't. Does it mean God can't do it? No. And I believe this is a summary, not the whole message. Are you with me on that? These are some of the things. These are the highlights, but not all. So I call that out because we've seen where demons are cast out. We've seen where people are speaking in new tongues. We've seen where Paul actually picked up the snake on the island and it bit him and he just shook it off back into the fire and nothing happened. We've seen those, but we haven't seen the poison. And something I was thinking about, now this is just my thoughts processed, so this is not in the Bible. Like I said, I have not found anything on this. But did you know that in this time, it was common for when you would sit down with meals with leaders or others, that people would try to poison your drink? Did you know that things like that happened at this time? And so how would you know? So this is what God, I believe, illuminated to me, but I just thought it was a cool story. So God was like, hey, you want to know? Here's the deal. But he said, if I allowed you to drink something that was poison and it didn't affect you, how would you know? You're just having a good drink. You're enjoying time with friends. And they're over there like, what in the world just happened? Do I have the poison drink? Like, did we mix it up? You know, you see those shows where they're like, oh no. And then it's like, he doesn't drink anything the entire, I don't know. But I'm sure they're sitting there thinking like, did I drink the poison? You know? So I say all that. It's funny. Once again, I believe God was humoring me and answering a question because I was like, Lord, I don't see it anywhere other than here. And God was saying, rest in this. This is a summary. This is but the least that I can do. Walk with me. Come alongside me. Learn of my ways. I'm going to show you a whole lot more than that. All right? Now, here's the deal. We've been talking about waiting, and we don't like to wait. But from the time of Passover, Joe can correct me if on this if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that I am. But from the time of Passover to the day of Pentecost, 50 days passed. 50 days. I don't know how long you've waited for something. You may have waited years, so you've got us all beat. But these guys waited 50 days. And I imagine somewhere in this process, they could have had a little bit of human rising up in them and saying, did we hear him wrong? I know he said wait. Gosh, he didn't tell us how long. Did we already miss it? Did he already get past us? Yeah. Amen.
So this is where that after Messiah came, they received the baptism. The anointing that was upon him.
Amen. Amen. So they knew that something was going to happen. Amen. They knew that something was going to happen. I am willing to bet, I don't know this for sure, but I'm willing to bet that God did abundantly more than they could imagine in that moment. But here's what it says in Acts 2. 1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there it is again, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Guys, listen. None of them were alive when God led them in the desert with the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire. So this is a first-time experience for them. They had but heard, but they had not seen, okay? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came down from heaven and then separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them, some of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to what? Speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Isn't that cool? Amen. So, as I said, we're going to be talking about all of the gifts, but today I want to focus on tongues. So we've talked about Mark, the Great Commission in Mark. We have Acts 2 here. The gift of tongues is one of the first things we talk about. So here's the gift of tongues definition in a nutshell. Please don't get me on this. It's just meant to be concise. But it's supernaturally speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker, nor understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily always understood by the hearer. Can we all agree to that summary of tongues? All right. So, the next question I have to ask myself is, why? What's the purpose? God, you called this out in multiple points here. It was one of the first things mentioned. It went along with healing and casting out demons and not being harmed when a snake bite or poison is drank or injected into us. So why was this considered among those? So here's the first one that I see, and I think they have it on the slide, but it was a supernatural sign. Not only did we see it in Acts 2 there, but we also saw it with the men that were at Corinth when Paul said, what baptism were you baptized in? And then he laid hands on them. They all were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke. So it was a supernatural sign saying, you got it. If you were doubtful on whether or not the Holy Spirit is in you, God is moving through you, he has sealed you, here's your confirmation. Here's your sign, right? In Acts 2:4, here are the scriptures, 2:4, 10, 44 through 46, and then chapter 19, verse 6. We see that tongues is a sign when believers accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read those one more time for you. Make sure you have them. Acts 2, verse 4. Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. And Acts 19, verse 6. Those are our three there. I did not give you an exhaustive list. But something that I want to note, and this I think is huge, because this, I feel like, guys, I'm preaching my story, but they believed in Jesus already. They already believed in Jesus. They just didn't have that full understanding. And I'm telling you, I feel what I believe they felt. When I experienced Holy Spirit for the first time, I was just like, what have I been doing? You know, like, this is different. How would I ever want to go backwards? I want more, God. Give me more. Right? If you look at the Great Commission in Mark, along with the one in Matthew, you see that we are baptized, as I said earlier, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So using these scriptures as an example, you can love Jesus and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I believe, as they told Apollos, let us show you a more excellent way. Let us show you the more adequate way. Let us fully explain all this to you. Jesus told the disciples to wait and receive power. Why should we do anything different? If Jesus told them to wait and receive power, why should we be any different? All right, here's our subpoint two. Not only was it a supernatural gift, here's the ministry gift. I gave you the teaser on this earlier. Here's the ministry gift. Here's tongues as a ministry gift in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. I'm going to read all of them. Bear with me. But 7 through 11 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the what? Common good. So it's not just for you. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. A word they also use there is languages. So you can use those interchangeably, tongues or languages. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So something that I'll note here, he kept saying by the same Spirit because they assumed that each one of those gifts were some random god of, oh, this is the Spirit of that. We want to pray to him. This is the Spirit of that. We want to pray to him. And he was saying, no. Stop it. All of these are his. His name is Holy Spirit. He comes from Jesus. It's not a bunch of different spirits. Only talk to him. Let's not get too crazy with this, okay? So that's what he's talking about. So, as I said, it's here that we see that tongues is a ministry gift. This is given in the context of building up the body. So if you read all of chapter 12, it's building up the body to maintain unity. One of the things that comes to mind as I'm talking right now, I did not write the scripture down. I can get it for you later. But I'm reminded of when Jesus was doing miracles and they said, he's casting out demons by demons. He's casting out Satan by Satan. Don't believe in him. And he said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How can a house divided against itself stand? Now, that's Chris's paraphrase. That's how I would say it. Jesus was a whole lot nicer. But he said, how can the devil fight against himself and expect to have victory? Right? So in that same context, if we're fighting against ourselves, are we doing God's will? Are we building up his kingdom? We're destroying his body. We are the body of Christ. One body, many members. So it's meant to build up the body to maintain unity. When we are unified, we can do great things. Another thing that comes to mind, gosh, I didn't write it down. I was thinking about this last night, but remember the Tower of Babel? What did God say? If I didn't stop them, they could have done anything. So he had to go in and confuse the languages. What just happened? He gave us the ability to speak in all languages. So if we work together, by Jesus' own words, nothing is impossible. Isn't that cool? The difference is, who are we doing it for? Jesus, as he gives utterance, right? Isn't that cool? All right, so let me kind of unpack this just a little bit more, and we're going to get into the devotional one. So there is a ministry of speaking or praying in tongues over the body or over a person or situation where we yield to the Holy Spirit's prayers. When I look at someone and they say, would you pray for me? And they say, it's an unspoken. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to need you to tell me what's going on because they didn't. And I don't know, right? But I want to pray for them because that's what you've called me to do as an under-shepherd. You want me to take care of your flock. And I can't take care of your flock if I don't know. But guess what? God knows. So God downloads that information into me, and I say, aha, all right, I've got but a picture. I don't know the whole story, but I've got a picture. I'm going to pray for you. And I yield to his prayer, and he prays over them and does something miraculous in them by the laying on of hands. And sometimes, I don't even know till later. Is that okay with you? I hope so. Sometimes you may not know, right? But we have to trust that I've been sealed. I received the promise, and all I have to do is be faithful. All I have to do is step out. And it's not always for us to get to have the hurrah moment. He is the only one that gets that. And sometimes he allows us to partner with, okay? All right. The other thing I say here is when we yield to the Holy Spirit's prayers, often we see the partnership of interpretation, so we get that download. And sometimes we even have, and I say sometimes, we have to be obedient. So sometimes we're not obedient, and it's okay, I'm not beating you up, but this is to learn and to explain. Sometimes when we recognize, I've got to get the prophecy. God has given me a gift and a mantle of prophetic ministry, and as I'm in this body, there could be multiple prophets, but God wants, according to the word that you'll read here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, he says only two or three need to talk. You don't need to get all wild and crazy. You don't need a ton of people. You just need a couple prophets that confirm the word, that speak it to the body, that build up the church. So he's saying that we see his partnership of either interpreting of tongues or the gift of prophecy to explain what just happened so that we can take the next steps in the prayer service or gathering. Are you with me? Okay. This is the one where people often mention order and confuse it with personal prayer language. So as I mentioned, in 12 and 14, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, please read those. There's an order and a flow. After the word is given to the body or the person, it needs to be interpreted so that our minds can understand what has been spoken in the Spirit over us. That's God speaking to us. That's that direction. Are you with me? Okay, so here's the one that people kind of get a little bit wonky and kind of out of sorts. So 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to read verse 2, and then I'm going to read verse 4. It's all through in this first part here. I'm just trying to summarize so we're not going too far over time. So verse 2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God." So we're not edified. We're speaking directly to him, okay? "Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." Then we jump down to verse 4 because, like I said, he's confirming all this through this chapter. Verse 4 says, "Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies," I'm going to also insert by just the way that he's talking here, "the one who interprets edifies the church. If it's explained, it builds us up. If it's not explained, it's your spirit speaking directly to God." Are you with me? Okay. So, as I said, 1 Corinthians 14 deals with the order of things. It explains further that there is a personal prayer language of tongues and a ministry use of tongues. How many of us have been in a church service where someone speaks in tongues, but it doesn't seem like it's for the whole body? Right? We've been there. When I was very early on, I was kind of caught off guard by it, honestly. I was like, what just happened? What was that? You know, it was a little bit weird. Unfortunately, I'm just going to say it because this is what we do. Unfortunately, we often get into our religious connoisseur. And what I mean by this is we go, that tastes like disorder. We get religious. Oh, no. We kind of turn our nose up at it. That's bad. And so hear me on this. When I'm talking about order, I need you to hear this. Because we've all, I'm sure, done it at one point in time, whether you did it out loud or you did it internally, you were offended. Maybe the disorder was not what they were doing, it was the attention that you drew to it. So I felt really impressed this morning, that's why we did what we did, I felt really impressed this morning to do what we did, to let you see there is an order in both the personal prayer language of tongues as well as the ministry gift of tongues. In worship, if you cry out in the Spirit, sometimes you are overcome. Sometimes you are overwhelmed with His love and His goodness, and I do not want you to feel ashamed for speaking your prayer language to God, because that is the Holy Spirit praying for you. Do not feel ashamed. And instead of being a religious connoisseur and saying, disorder, you need to look at it and say, Lord, bless them. And while you're at it, would you bless me too? And then you get right back into it. Can you hear that today? That stops disorder, because you're worshiping God. And what does He want? Worship. Okay? All right. Don't get offended. Okay. Something else I want to say on that last bit there. We speak as He gives us utterance. We have to choose to partner with Him and vocalize it. We have to choose to partner with Him and vocalize Him. How do I know this? Because I was given word after word, syllable after syllable, in all sorts of order under the sun, and I just expected that He would open my mouth and start wiggling my tongue for me. It didn't work that way. And I was terrified. I was like, you mean I have to do it? And He said, yes. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, go with it. And I did it. And it was awkward at first. And then I shared something with you guys months ago where God said, shout. And I was like, you mean I have to? He said, yes. get loud with it. So I just want you to be encouraged that no one taught this. I didn't learn this from any person. And you know, I kind of like that, and I hope you can hear that today. I know I'm trying to teach and trying to explain, but really I'm just giving you my story and hoping that it builds some faith in you so you can step out in boldness with it, because I get that it's new. I get that it's something that we don't see and experience. And more often than not, we experience it in a bad way than a good way. So I'm saying this so you can hear my story and my journey. Can I say what Paul said, that I think, my God, that I speak in tongues more than all of you? No, I'm not there yet. But that's what I'm praying for. It's like, I want to be like Paul. I want to be praying to you all the time, Lord. I want you to be able to use my lips all the time for your glory and your good. Right? But then I'm also talking to Brother Allen here, and I'm also remembering that he says, earnestly desire the best gifts. What's one of the best gifts? Prophecy. I want to build up your church. So not only do I want to have my spirit commune with yours and pray to you in a language that I might or might not understand, and it's okay, I'm going to yield to that. I also want to be able to speak to your church. Would you use me? Would you download those words in me so I can build them up, so I can teach them that better way? All right? Something else that I'm reminded of, I'm only going to give you the address. It's when we fail in any of these areas, the good news is that He's faithful. And it says the Holy Spirit prays for us. That's found in Romans 8:27 with groanings. Now, the reason why this is not a tongues thing, it says sometimes it's too deep for words, meaning He's not using syllables. So this is a different thing here. But when we fail, Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that we can't utter into words. So this is not the same thing, but this is to know that even when we miss it, Holy Spirit still prays for us. Isn't that good? All right. So here's my last part. This is our closing, but I have to ask in all of this, okay, what baptism? What's the power? What's the purpose? And the last part here is, so what's next? So I believe that tongues, as we're going to see over the next few weeks, is just the start. When you say yes to God in one area and you begin to earnestly desire the best gifts, He begins a process of teaching and equipping you for more. So as I've learned one thing, God said, here's another. Are you ready? Let's do this. And something I said earlier this morning is it's not always the same process. It's not always done the same way. So I go to it and I start pulling out my notes and I pull out my word, and He's like, Chris, we're not going to do it the same way I did the last one for you. We're going to do it a different way. Because if I do it this way, and you've got a plan and a process flow, you're going to try to get a few steps ahead of me and say, oh, no, we're going here, right? You know, you're going to try to take the lead. But He says, we're going to do something new, and I'm going to show it to you a little bit differently so that you remember that all things come from me. Because remember what my original problem was, what my original hang-up was, is I desired the gift more than I desired the giver. So it helps me stay in focus. All right, you're in picture. I'm seeing Jesus. Remember, eyes on Jesus. And he says, okay, now come with me. Let's take it a step at a time. It's going to be different. It's going to be okay. So here's a scripture for you. Please meditate on this, but this is found at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. It says, earnestly desire the best gifts. And Paul says, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. You know what that excellent way is? Love. If you focus on God, and God is love, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and the fruits are the fruit of the tools that you're using. So you're hammering a nail into wood and you build a house. That's the fruit of your labor. As you walk in the Holy Spirit and you exercise the gifts in your life, you're going to have fruit. And people are going to see the fruit. And what are they going to do? They're going to glorify God in heaven. They're going to exalt his name. And they're going to say, whatever is in him, whatever changed his life, I knew who he used to be. He doesn't look the same anymore now. I want that. All right? So I want to lead you guys in a prayer. I want to lead you guys online in a prayer. I have it online. I don't have it in here for you guys because I want you guys to repeat it with me. But I want to pray for you. And then we're going to do a worship song. And I got something that I want to sing with you before they sing. But let me pray with you. Father God, I thank you for the promise of a new heart and a new spirit. I accept the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the new heart that he has given me. I accept the Helper, Holy Spirit, and desire to walk in a closer, more intimate relationship with you each and every day. Show me your ways and teach me how to use your gifts for your glory and your will to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Help me to walk in boldness and unwavering trust as I take the first step with the gift of tongues. Whether in public or private, help me to trust the way that you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now if you guys would stand with me, we're gonna get Alan or somebody can tell me what year this is. But I had a song on my heart when I was writing this, and I just wanted to share. But here's how it goes. See if you can sing along. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Look away beyond the blue. Do you believe that? All right. So we're going to let the praise team lead us in a final song. You guys are dismissed, but if you want to stay with us and worship, that is going to be available here. And something I'm going to ask you to do, just to be reverent to the Spirit, as we're worshiping and as other people are coming to get prayed for or worshiping, would you take conversations out of the room so that God continue to be glorified? All right? Love you guys. See you next week.